Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. This is God's Word. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. He whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are devious despises him. A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Where there are no oxen, the manger is empty, but from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Stay away from a foolish man, for you will not find knowledge on his lips. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Fools mock at making amends for sin, but goodwill is found among the upright. Each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief. The faithless will be fully repaid for their ways, and the good man rewarded for his. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Evil men will bow down in the presence of the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Do not those who plot evil go astray, but those who plan what is good find love and faithfulness. All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. The wealth of the wise is their crown, but the folly of fools yields folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. A large population is a king's glory, but without subjects a prince is ruined. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. When calamity comes, the wicked are brought down, but even in death, the righteous have a refuge. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools, she lets herself be known. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. A king delights in a wise servant, but a shameful servant incurs his wrath. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In this chapter, there are lots of different topics being covered. If there is any one verse, and there are several that I really wish you'd memorize and take home with you, but if there's any one verse that I want us to focus on today, it is verse 12. And the title of this message, if you want to title it, is The Road to Death. The Road to Death. I wouldn't want to get on that road, would you? I mean, if there was a road that says, this is the road to disaster, would you go? Let's see, planning a family vacation, I was thinking maybe the road to death sounds appealing. No, I mean, how do people get on that road? Well, we're going to see in verse 12, it looks right to them. The road to death is a road that appears right to the people who are on it. Look at verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Turn over just real quickly to chapter 16, verse 25. You'll find something that's not just similar, it's identical. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. The exact same words in those two chapters. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus says something similar. Jesus says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. So if you're traveling with the crowd, if everybody's saying, yeah, well done, yeah, let's go, yeah, hooray, this is going to be a ball, you're on the wrong road. It appears right to most people, but that doesn't mean it is right. We in this country live in a democratic republic. That means it's not just the will of the majority, it's the laws that are enacted through a process that takes into account the will of the majority. People get to vote on who's going to represent them, and then those representatives are supposed to go and do something that's right. But you've got to have another authority. And our founders knew and explicitly said that this form of government will only work for religious people. And they weren't talking about just any old religion. They were talking about the religion that was shared by the majority of the founders and the people living in this country at that time. So when we, for instance, go into a Middle Eastern area and we say, you know, we ought not to have a dictator running this place, let's help these people get democracy. And so the people get to vote thanks to our support in overthrowing the dictator. And then the people, when they vote, vote in a regime that says, death to America! We're like, oh, guys, we wanted to be friends. Do you understand that democracy by itself, the rule of the majority, is not the cure for society's ills or for this world's problems? Because you will have democratic elections that result in groups in leadership that want to kill each other. Okay? And so, here is a lesson about the universe. I'm not anti-America. I am pro-God. And the universe is not a democracy. Okay? I want you to say that with me. The universe is not a democracy. One more time. The universe is not a democracy. Now, what do we mean by that? God doesn't take a vote and then decide whether things are right or wrong. Apparently, lots of people have decided that adultery is a good thing. So I guess, change the rule book. No. Adultery is still wrong. Well, who says? God, the creator of the universe. God, the giver of life. God, the judge of all mankind. God says it's wrong. So don't go there. Got it? Well, is stealing okay? No, God says don't. But what if somebody else has something and I really want it and they're not using it? Can't I take it? No. God says no. Well, who put him in charge? He made everything. He made the universe. He's the boss. Let me tell you something. Not only is democracy not the way the universe is governed, but this tells us something about the human heart that most people are on the wrong road. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. That's how it turns out. So that tells us if broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life, it means our natural inclination is not to do the right thing. How many of you can remember when you were little and your parents had to teach you how to be selfish? Hey, did your parents have to teach you to be selfish? I mean, you didn't know how to be selfish? They had to teach that to you? I don't think so. It comes naturally, doesn't it? We are by nature bent towards sin. And so if we do what comes naturally to us, we're going to be on the wrong road, going the wrong way. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, look at verse 1 of chapter 14. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears hers down. What does that mean? It means if you're wise, the things that you do in wisdom, walking in God's way, doing what God says, will result in your house, your home, your family being blessed. But the foolish woman tears hers down with her own hands. Now, does that mean literally she gets up in the morning and goes over and starts trying to demolish the wall? No, it means that the things she is doing bring suffering and loss and destruction to her family. You know, don't blame somebody else for what you do yourself. If you do stuff that God says is wrong, you are behaving foolishly, there will be bad consequences, and you're going to want somebody else to blame. This is, no, you're doing that yourself. You brought it on yourself. I was talking recently with a young man who's in jail because of some bad things that he did, and it gave me enormous comfort to hear him say, as he has said before, I'm experiencing the consequences of my own behavior. Wisdom. He's acknowledging that he created that mess. But you know what? When a person starts to take responsibility and say, I've done the wrong thing, then there's real hope that now they're walking in wisdom and that will result in good things down the road because God says so. Your past mistakes don't have to completely demolish any opportunity you have for a good future. But if you keep on going on that same road, disaster. So, this chapter begins by saying there are two ways. You can build the house up or you can tear it down. And the difference is between the wise and the foolish. Verse 2, he whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are devious despises him. What does it mean to be devious? It means to be dishonest, to be sneaky. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Above all else, who can know it? It comes naturally to us. Is that kind of life going to be a good life? Sneaking around, taking stuff that's not yours? Is that okay? Absolutely not. The person whose walk is upright fears the Lord, but he whose ways are devious despises him. When we behave that way, when we give in to those desires, when we engage in that kind of deception, we are expressing hostility toward God, which is what makes it so serious. Verse 3, a fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them. Many verses in this chapter and in the book of Proverbs talk about the fact that if you speak what is wise, it will benefit your whole life. If you speak what is foolish, what is dishonest, what is dishonoring to God, you will end up suffering for it. That's what this verse is saying one more time, one more way. Verse 4, where there are no oxen, the manger is empty. What is an ox? An ox is a bull no more. Okay, it is a male steer that has been neutered, and as a result, he's very focused on eating and doing whatever he's tasked with in the way of work. I mean, oxen are strong and workers. That's what they're good for. Now, guess what? If you don't have one of those, you don't have to feed them. Oxen eat a lot. So they stand around and they just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And you put them back in the barn after they've done a lot of work and they're going to want to eat. And you're going to need to feed them in order to keep them strong. Well, you can go through a lot of grain. You don't have to worry about that if you don't have an ox. If there's no oxen, the manger's empty. You don't have to put all that money into feeding the oxen. But guess what? If you'll go ahead and make the investment, if you have oxen, you get an abundant harvest. Because you can plow a lot more with an ox pulling the plow than with one of your kids out there pulling the plow. Okay? Come on, Johnny, pull! All right? It's just not the same. That oxen enables you to get a lot more rows plowed, planted, harvested, hauled the wagons of produce back in. You'll have an abundant harvest if you make the investment. So what it's saying is, you want an empty manger? If you don't make the investment, you're not going to get a return. One of the most powerful illustrations of this principle is one that I heard years ago, true story. A man was complaining about how much his kids cost him. I'm having to spend money for orthodonture, and this one's in college, and I mean, it's just, you know, my kids are costing me so much. And after this guy had gone on complaining about it for a while, another person spoke up and said, yeah, that's what it was like when my son was alive. I wish, like anything, that I could be spending money on him right now. Kind of ended the complaining. Do you see your kids as an expense? Or do you see them as an investment? No oxen, the manger's empty. But from the strength of an ox comes an abundant harvest. Look at verse 6, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Look at verse 33. Wisdom reposes in the heart of the discerning, and even among fools she lets herself be known. Do you remember some of the other proverbs that we've looked at where wisdom calls out to the simple and says, hey, come in, I've prepared a feast for you. When people are foolish, it's because they choose to be foolish. It's not because wisdom isn't available. It's saying the fool won't find her, but that's not because she's saying, no, you can't find me. It's because he's saying, no, I don't want you. Wisdom invites people to come and learn and be made wise. The mocker seeks wisdom and finds none. I don't see it. I've looked, I've read the book, I don't see it. But it's because they look at it as a mocker. They look at it to despise it, not to learn. Look over at verse 15. A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. Now we've already been told that there is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. So a prudent man gives thought to his steps. He's careful to be sure he's on the right road. Well, if the way that leads to destruction seems right to a man, how can you be sure you're on the right road? You need to ask God. Go by his word. What does he say? Let's spend time in God's word and see what he says and believe it and do it. A wise man, verse 16, fears the Lord and shuns evil. What does that mean? It means I don't want anything to do with it. If we understood the real nature of sin and the death that it brings, we would not find it so appealing. We would not find it so entertaining. We would shun it. And that is what we're supposed to do. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil. I don't want anything to do with that. Got it? But a fool is hot-headed and reckless. To be reckless means you're going to do stuff carelessly without thinking about the consequences. Now look at verse 20. The poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it is. Verse 21, this gives us instruction about how things are supposed to be. He who despises his neighbor sins, but blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Look at verse 31. He who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. So on the one hand, you find that a lot of people despise the poor, are unkind to them, don't want to have anything to do with them, and even try and take advantage of them. But that's evil. That's the broad road. That's the way that leads to destruction. The wise person fears the Lord and is kind to the needy because we fear the Lord. So you want to help poor people, which, by the way, does not mean giving them whatever they ask for. If an alcoholic asks me for a bottle of booze, am I kind to give them what they ask for? No, that's cruel. There are a lot of people out there who will encourage you in sin because it makes them feel better about their own sin. But if you fear God, you will be kind to the poor. You will care about their need and you'll want to give them what they really need. Whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Look at verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. Are you at peace with God? Or are you still in turmoil trying to be your own boss? Let me tell you, this universe is a really scary place if you have to be your own God. Because you are constantly surrounded by forces that are stronger than you are. But if you will surrender to the one who is God and trust his love and his wisdom, you will find that this universe is not such a scary place. even death cannot rob you of your relationship with Him.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.